Thank you for downloading the Saturday Live podcast. For more details about our terms of use, please go to www.bbc.co.uk/radio4. Do enjoy the show. We meet a man who used the internet to find love. It could be a tacky story given that billing, but it's not. It's touching and happy. You are listening to Saturday Live and it's about 24 minutes to 10. If you type most frequently asked question into a well-known search engine, Suggs, what would you think the first thing is that pops up?
Football.
You see, exactly. I would have thought a big thing would come up, but it's actually, how do I fix the error MSN Messenger setup failed with error code 1603 during setup? It absolutely is. Try it. That's what's there. But you're right, because we thought it might be one of the big questions of life. How do I find true love would be in the top 10, surely. And for Alan Wills, it was the overriding unanswered question of his life. And being a 30-something internet-savvy young man about town, he decided to do something webby about it. Now, those of you who've been listening since 8:30 this morning will kind of know what he did, because I've been trailing the fact that you're here with your wife, Alan. Hello.
Hi.
Let's spool back a bit then. How single were you and how old were you?
29 was the age, and I'd been sort of single by choice for about 7 years because I was, as you say, man about town. I was living in different countries, trying different things, moving about, never wanted to be tethered anywhere. And then I ended up in London, and I found that in London I was working to live and not as free as I used to be. And the question was, how do I sort of build some bridges to meeting some interesting people within the city that want to live up to my sort of style of life and travel and fun? And I was finding it very difficult. And especially I started using, as most people do, internet dating. And I found that it put up more barriers than it built bridges. And I was very frustrated. And as you say, being a technology man, the question arose, could I do any better using the technology that exists?
Why did you find the internet dating sites to be a barrier?
For a number of reasons. I think the business model was very frustrating for some, that they were a bit like joining a gym. They wanted you to sign up for long periods of time to get discounts. And of course, if after a month I wanted to leave, or in fact I met someone, I didn't feel that was fair. And the other thing is they keep profiles on there even though you leave. And so I didn't know if I was looking at someone that was there or not. And I found that a bit frustrating because it wastes your time.
Yeah.
You're sort of sifting through lots of information. And then I think the interface, the way that databases run, and not to get too technical, but the idea of having a robot match you up because you enter some criteria. How do I know what I like in a woman until I see it? I can't predefine that. And I felt that frustrating.
Yeah, but you did decide that the web was going to offer you a solution. So you set up this website.
Yeah.
AreYouMyWife.com? How did you get your message out there, though? Were you just hoping that somebody, you know, would type in, are you my husband? And suddenly your site would pop up. I mean, I would have thought with the word wife in the title, you might get some responses for people who were looking for a business transaction.
Of course, yes. Yeah. And that all came about. The reason I chose the title is I just felt, all right, my device is going to be a blog, and that's just simply a diary. And I'm just going to start writing about this and see what happens. The title came about just through some discussions with some friends, and it turned out that that was an available domain name, so I grabbed it. And I made it very clear that I was in no rush to get married. I just wanted to date with a difference, really, and perhaps I should have chosen that title, but maybe it was taken. But as far as propagating it and getting it noticed, the internet is very viral, and if you get some key content out there that people like, it'll go around word of mouth. And so simply I just started blogging, and I must admit, in the early days I thought it was a bit of a lark, a bit of a silly boy adventure, and I had a full-time career, so I wasn't putting a whole lot of stock in it. But as soon as I announced I was willing to go anywhere in the world by virtue of having a brother who works for an airline and could get me some very cheap flights, suddenly it seemed to pick up a bit. Next thing I know, it seems that the media came to me, and I never did any PR, just through word of mouth, just through people that knew people. And then suddenly the profile of the site got raised really high.
Yeah. And you were doing these fantastic dates with a difference, though, weren't you? Mm. I mean, if I'd replied and sent you an email, you wouldn't have said, you know, let's just go out for a coffee somewhere. You would have said, you know, let's go and read poetry at midnight on the South Downs or something, wouldn't you?
That sounds very good. Interesting, yeah. The way I played it was, I said there's sort of three ways to interact, if you will. One is to ask me out. The other is to ask me to ask you out, if you're old fashioned. And last but not least, if you're not interested in dating me, maybe you have some criticisms or comments or an idea or a suggestion. And that third part really played a huge role, because as I went around the world, it was the kindness of strangers that supported me. And I just had this big bowl of creativity flowing in. So I had these ideas, like you say, of poetry at midnight and jumping out of planes and, you know, doing all kinds of adventures. So that is what the website generated.
Mm. Best date and worst date, please.
I didn't really have a worst date, I must be honest. I had a lot of bad offers, but... you know, I did do some creative dates where I met a woman underwater. We had to scuba dive in and meet underwater, and our first communication was just with hand signals. Yeah. And then, great way to get to know
you
someone.
You can tell a lot, can't you, from yeah. that? Yeah. That didn't work out, that one, did it?
Well, I was invited to her wedding, so no, we're still friends. But no, we wrote to each other underwater on a underwater book. And then I had other ones in London that were just simple, meet at the art gallery. And we had to go around the room and look at different paintings and tell each other which ones we liked and didn't like. And then eventually start guessing what the other person was into based on the information we knew about them. And I felt that was a really sort of cerebral date. And then I had one that lasted literally a month in Australia where I had to go around and do certain... executions and dares. I had to swim with dolphins and then go to sea for a week and swim with sharks. And so it was just sort of this big, it was nice to be at the center of all these sort of threads, and I could just start pulling on the ones that I wanted and unraveling.
Yeah, and just very exciting, very exciting as well. Claire, tell us where you come into the story. You're sitting on Liverpool Street Station one evening.
I was one morning, actually.
One morning.
On my way to the office, bright and early, and I'd read the headlines, turned the page onto page three, and there was this crazy Canadian guy rollerblading and going through the labyrinths in Romania or wherever he was, having a good time and good fun. And I was going through a stage in my life where things were a bit tough personally for me. So I thought, you know what, this guy knows nothing about me. He's not going to be asking probing questions. Let's go out for dinner or get to know him and have a fun evening. And that was really all I ever intended it to be.
You have admitted, though, that there was something that appealed to a competitive streak in you.
Yeah,
I can get him, nobody
yeah.
else can.
Yeah, I saw the pictures and there was, you know, three very friendly, very nice-looking girls. And I was like, yeah, I can top that one. Yeah.
And Alan, you were just about to board a plane to the Elmore Bachelor and Spinsters Ball in Australia, which does sound like the most fun you can have without a wedding ring on. Did you carry on and go to that?
I did. I met Claire. Well, we were sort of in touch since that article. So 4 months passed before we finally met. And I hasten to add, and I'm going to let you down here, but we went for a coffee to begin with. And that was at the point when I felt this website was getting a bit too gimmicky and out of hand and was going to shut it down. And so for me, having a date involved blogging, doing interviews and making videos. And when I met Claire, I just said, look, I'm about to go to Australia in 6 weeks. Do you want to just have a coffee? I'm sorry we've missed each other for 4 months. We've been in different places. And from there, it just grew. And we went to Devon for a weekend and then eventually did a couple of official dates on the website. But yes, I had this ticket in my hand and I had given up where I was living to save money because, of course, this was getting a little bit financially heavy on me, paying a London rent and not being in the UK very often.
Yeah. And Claire, did you worry at all that you were just part of a game, that actually he wasn't particularly serious about the end result?
No. On the surface, perhaps it might have seemed that way, but I'd spent 6 weeks with Alan getting to know him as a person and what was behind the story, shall we say, that I really wasn't that concerned, and I had to play by the rules. He had put on the web that he was prepared to go anywhere to meet the right person. An amazing offer had come up to go to Australia. Who was I to say, oh, I don't want you to go? It wasn't fair. I had to support him as a friend, if nothing else, to go and do what he wanted to do and hope that things came full circle and we worked out.
You did both decide, though, didn't you, to just completely shut away the website aspect and hide yourselves from that publicity so you could allow your relationship to develop.
Very correct. I mean, by the time Claire and I met again, it was in Thailand. And I must admit, as soon as I left for Australia, it just didn't seem as interesting anymore to be doing this site. And the dates that followed on, I only had five after I met Claire, and they were all dates with the Elmore Ball and dates with a farm and sort of situations and not people, really, if that makes any sense. So I was broke and I was stuck in Thailand, and then a few circumstances brought me back to London. But we thought, okay, this website sort of did get high profile, and sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. We did have some bad interactions with tabloids. And we just wanted to become normal citizens, and I certainly wanted to get back into having a nice career and, you know, and that kind of thing. So we shut down. I continued to blog loosely about what we were up to, but it was very low traffic and, you know, one every 3-4 weeks, not necessarily one every day.
It's interesting, though, that that there was something called the ultimate date, wasn't there, involved, which was, you know, going to be the way that you really, really knew if somebody was serious. And you both had very different ideas about what the ultimate date should be.
Yeah.
What was yours, Alan?
I kind of got talked into trying to get into space and going on one of Richard Branson's or any of these other sort of magnates' space launches. And I got wide-eyed and bushy-tailed about it. And then Claire said, right, well, how are you going to pay rent this month?
Right. And Claire, what was your idea of the ultimate date?
Pay rent.
Being real, really. The ultimate date for me was getting out of bed, going to work, coming home, doing the laundry, paying rent, going to Tesco, Sainsbury's, wherever. Because that, to me, was real. If we could survive a year of doing that, well, we probably had a hell of a chance. But we'd had these great experiences popping off to Thailand and popping off to Devon for the weekend. There was no reality about it. And I was really keen that if this was going to go anywhere and have any legs, our ultimate date really had to be, could we actually live with each other for a year? Could we stand the sight of each other
in a small apartment?
In a very small apartment. You know, on a Wednesday morning when it's raining in November, did we still actually like the look of each other?
She's very sensible, isn't she, Alan? Yeah, she's
a keeper. I still want to go to space.
Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe one day. It must be almost impossible to know this, but you must have both wondered what would have happened if you'd just met at a party, you know, sat next to each other on the tube and got chatting. Did you ever worry that because you were part of something much bigger than just a normal first date, that some of the attraction was, this is an adventure?
I think because our first date was just a coffee and having dinner, we immediately took out the kind of chaos that went with the website. I think had we have had a stage date first time, yeah, maybe it could have been riding on the coattails of a bit of fun and whatever. But because Alan was at his lowest with the website and I would just come out for a really tough time, we really met each other quite raw, that we were two people rather than two public entities.
Yeah. Can I have a look at the ring?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Lovely. Beautiful.
Canadian diamonds.
Oh, haven't you done well?
Yes.
It's lovely to meet you both. Thank you very much indeed. I'm sure we'll have a couple of questions and we'll try and squeeze them in before 10 o'clock, but best to send them on the text. Otherwise, we might not get round to reading them. Let's have that final poem now from Kate Fox.
One in a million. For years, I despaired of finding a man suitable for me until I realised I needed to think statistically and searching would be more effective if I adopted a global perspective. In the world, 3 billion blokes. If I discounted the ones who don't get jokes, aren't single, over 25, under 50, or over 5'3", I'd already eliminated Nicolas Sarkozy. That still left over 1 billion candidates as my potential mates. Even losing Tory voters, men with moustaches or poodles, criminal or Leo Sayer records, the certifiably insane, ones who came on like John Leslie or walked like John Wayne, men who lived in igloos, I hate being cold, ones who covered their teeth or their taps in gold, that still left approximately 600 million chaps into whose arms I could collapse. Getting rid of those who've been involved in violence, murder or Morris dancing, there were still 400 million men within my ken. Talking of Ken, they couldn't be called that, or Herbert or Barry. But that still meant 380 million I could marry. I could then cut at a stroke all those who wouldn't reciprocate if they met a weird poet like me on a date. Perhaps 19 out of 20, which sounds harsh, but still left plenty. Though in the end, after calculating the 16 million men I could meet, I got engaged to one who lives practically across the street. With so much in common, the opportunity couldn't fail, though he still asked me out via email.
Oh, do you know what? We never do this, but should we clap? Yay! For goodness sake, Kate, don't get the Morris dancing started.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, I'll be here all week.